Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets.
It's all about the Badgers.
Go Badgers!
Go Badgers!
Go Badgers!
Games like this is what really separates college football from everything else.
Open up the history books. Here comes Rondae.
That was J.J. Watt, and what a story this young man is.
Gordon again! What a performance by Melvin Gordon!
And the pass rush gets home for the Badgers.
Camp Randall lets it roar.
This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The final home game of the season, senior night at Camp Randall Stadium. Brett Bielema is back in town for the Fighting Illini. So much motivation for the Badgers, so much juice still in this town here on Regent Street. And still two more opportunities for Wisconsin to end their season well. As this is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light. My name is Riley Yauch. I am typically back in the Everlight Solar Studios, but today I get to be out with you guys, my esteemed colleagues Adam Mertz, former Wisconsin punter Brad Nortman. It's just great to be out here with you guys today. How you doing?
It's fantastic to see you here in person.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. It's just nice to, you know, be out here with the people in the tailgate. It's starting to fill up now. We got Illinois fans. We got Wisconsin fans. It's just fantastic. We got Jesse Nelson. He is calling the Culver's Isthmus Bowl out in Sun Prairie today, hence his absence. Owen Dimple back in the Everlight Solar Studios holding it down. Massive shout-out to him. And it's just a pleasure to be here today. But looking back to last – Brad, can
you – Yeah, well, it is. Like, I will say, you know, every time I come to Madison on a game day, I'm expecting a party, right? And I would say it's usually a 9 or a 10. It's about a 5.5. I think the cold weather, the upcoming holiday weekend, I see a lot more orange than I would like to. It's always a party here in Madison, but I don't know. I'm always a little bit struck when it's not the tenor that I'm used to.
So a lot of people are wearing orange this weekend. Up north hunting somewhere, too.
Yes, correct? That's true. So maybe it is hunting gear. Maybe it's not.
Was people just taking it out on this one and watching from some bar way up north?
Yeah, exactly. But nonetheless, old Brett Bielema in town, bringing back memories for me. I do love there's sort of like a Brett Bielema media blitz whenever he plays Wisconsin. And then normally I'm not following the, you know, Fighting Illini vocal clips that he's putting out there. But he's still got the same swagger, the same bravado, the same like baritone voice. He's still the same. And as we look at this program that Wisconsin's playing, I mean, I am not surprised whatsoever that he was able to, now I think 4 or 5 years in, resurrect this program from really nothing to now they're ranked. They had 10 wins last year. So will they ever knock the door on the college football playoff? I don't know about that, but they're knocking on the door of being a contender in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and they've only lost, albeit in brutal fashion, they've gotten demolished by the teams that they've lost to, but only the best of the best, Indiana, Ohio State, and I believe Oregon?
They lost to Washington.
Washington was their bad loss. Yes.
Yep.
Yes, but this is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, and it is presented by Coors Light. When you need to refresh on game day, choose a beer that's as cold as the Rockies. Cold filtered, cold lagered, and cold packaged for peak refreshment. When the mountains are blue, you know what to do, and that's crush a Coors Light. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Looking back to last week, guys, Wisconsin facing number 2 Indiana. You knew that was going to be tough. None of us picked them to win. But they hung tough in the first half, only trailing 10-7. Probably should have been 10-10 if Nathaniel Bacos doesn't miss a field goal. And then Indiana turned on the gas, couple of turnovers. How did you guys feel overall after the Badgers' 31-7 loss to the Hoosiers last week?
Well, they obviously did turn it on, and they showed Indiana, that is, why they're the number 2 team in the country. And, again, another remarkable turnaround. I was impressed with the way the Badgers came out to play. You know, only since this whole, you know, statement by the athletic director that Coach Fickell's coming back, you had 2 games. and it was a hard-fought Washington game. Let's be honest, you know, Wisconsin benefited from the elements, and they sort of muddied up the whole game and made it an ugly game that Wisconsin could pull out. And it was going to be hard to beat Indiana at Indiana, so I wasn't expecting a victory, and they actually kept it closer than I thought they would, particularly in the first half. But there are guys on this team with heart, and I think that is the one thing I take away. We know that this team is insanely limited on offense, right? Gideon Atuka, I'm guessing, is out today. I wouldn't imagine they throw him back in there after the scare from last week. So they're going to be even more limited. Like, the one bright spot where I'm like, okay, maybe you can utilize this. So even more on Carter Smith. But I'm encouraged by the defense. I am. A few of those linebackers in Catalano and Posa, there are some guys that like to hit. They look like Wisconsin linebackers. So maybe I'm at the point where I've reached acceptance, and I'm just looking for silver linings, because I know now that Coach Fickell's coming back in 2026, so there's level of acceptance. Okay, so who do we got? So who do we got coming back? Where, this is almost, I said this on the pregame last week, I'm in self-scouting for 2026 mode now. I know we got two more games. I would love to get the axe next week, but I'm basically in self-scouting mode. Who's on this team? Who's going to be around next year? What can you build off of?
Yeah, hey, I will tip the hat, because I think our number one complaint from last year at the end of the season was that the team quit. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't like saying that, but it becomes even more stark when you're looking at the effort that's being put forward with a substandard roster this year. Those guys are out there trying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're putting their best effort forward, and this is just what they've got at this point. Last year was depressing on so many levels. This year I'm actually, and maybe again it is the seven layers of grief almost about where the program is at, but it really does not seem to be bothering me as much this year of where they are. I think the things that get me mad are Nathaniel Vaco's missing an opportunity in a game like this where, like, you want to do everything you can to represent yourself well.
Yeah,
I was inflamed by the referees missing a blatant holding call on Indiana's first touchdown drive. You know, like, I'm not saying they're going to beat Indiana. I'm not saying that at all. But, like, make them work for it. And maybe that's a little bit more of a game. I'm ticked that Fickell let the final minute of the first half tick off.
Yeah.
Two timeouts in his pocket. What are you doing?
Yeah. Okay, see, so I defended that in the postgame show. We had that question, too. But we know this offense is completely inept. I feel like the risk of turning it over is so much higher than doing anything good on that possession.
So you're going to win the game?
No, on the...
I know. So you're going to win the game? Like,
Play
hard. Play hard. Right. Give it everything you got. You're not going to win the game. Like, put everything out there. Put Carter Smith in that situation. You got 1 minute. Let's see what you can do, kid. Who cares?
And hopefully,
they were trying to win the game. Though.
Well, and hopefully, it's not the last time that this young offense is going to be put in a position where they got to run a 2 minute drill. And it's a great experience. And I just, now is time as any to just turn it on. Like, turn it on, let it all rip. You know, especially now, you know you're not going to a bowl officially. And they're just holding nothing back, I guess, is what I'm leaning toward. In this young group, give them experience, give them reps. And I feel like you missed out on one right there.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I actually agree. Yeah. Like, if you think you're going to win that game, you do what he did. You're not going to win that game. So give your guys the opportunity to be in that situation and to be in that moment when the game matters, and see what they do, see how they perform. And I was bummed. I'm like, why are we doing this? So that's my only complaint, really. I thought the defense continued to play hard in the second half, even after they were getting marched on and mowed a little bit. I have no complaints about that effort last week at all. That was phenomenal.
And my curiosity now is, you know, there is heart, there is excitement, and there is a bit of, like, football mortality for some of these guys. And inevitably, end of season comes. If you're an upperclassman, you're realizing, man, this might be my last shot, or I only got one more season left. So my curiosity is, these guys that are playing hard, this is a unique time in college football. Are they playing hard to, you know, deposit a little goodwill into the program? Maybe you get a little pay bump internally from NIL, or are they putting film out there for the transfer portal? So we're going to see how much belief there is in the program when you've got the studs like Posa and Catalano and, like, those guys, Gideon Atuka. Like, those guys look good. They look like college football players that many programs would want. So when the rubber hits the road and they have maybe more money elsewhere, will they stay with Wisconsin? That is what I'm most curious on.
And we shall see. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light. And, Brad, you mentioned Atuka, Catalano, Posa. Those guys are all young, freshmen, sophomores. Tonight is senior night. What did senior night mean to you as a player, and what's that experience like? Like, walk us through just the experience of going through that locker room, coming out in the field, and being honored one last time.
Yeah, you know, it gives me chills a little bit. So it was our last game. So I always liked, personally, when senior night was your, like, last actual game. And it was weird. Not now, this year, and every year, they play Minnesota for the last game. We played Penn State. It was a home game, Penn State. And I believe, I guess we needed to win to go to the Big Ten Championship game.
Back
against
in the Leaders and Legends
yeah,
era.
Yeah, Leaders and
Big
Legends
Ten.
To play nice. Michigan State to go to the Rose Bowl. So it was my last game in the regular season and last game at Camp Randall. And, you know, you're almost brought to tears thinking about it. There's a couple moments throughout my football career, and it was never like in a victory. It wasn't even like in a defeat where I'm brought to tears, but like emotional welling of an ending of a chapter is what brought me to tears. I cried in my last high school football game. I cried on senior day running out the tunnel. I cried when we lost the Super Bowl. But with this one, I remember a couple things. One, my parents, my sister, her husband, now my now wife, out on the field. Cool moment to be able to have them on the field, grab a picture, give everyone a hug. And honestly, to bring this full circle, you know, you kind of go out single file, right? And you let the guy have their moment. You run through. I don't know if they still do this, but when I was on it, you could have all like former players in line as well, right? So you had a bunch of former players lining up from the end line all the way to the 50, and a couple of my best buddies that had already graduated were in that line. So I was able to say hey to them. And who is greeting you before you head out is Coach Bielema, right? Coach Bielema gives you a big bear hug. He says he's proud of you. You know, thanks for everything. You embodied what it means to be a Badger. A really quick exchange. And for me, I'm lucky that the same head coach that recruited me out of high school, when I wasn't sure if I could play college football at all, he's the same one that greeted me and hugged me and thanked me on senior day. So it really comes full circle now on senior day when he's coaching for the Illinois Fighting Illini. It's one of those times where I can just see it vividly. The hug, the embrace, the run out there, the chills, the tears. I will say, though, it's ceremonious, it's exciting, it's emotional. Then you play football. Kind of weird. It is kind of weird to do. Now, we had a great team back then, and we just steamrolled Penn State. But in a game like this where you try to embrace it and you try to enjoy it because you'll never get it again, you also got to turn the page in about 60 seconds and be ready to hit somebody. Not me, thank goodness, but most of the other guys need to go out there and hit some people. So enjoy it. These seniors have been through a lot now for the University of Wisconsin. So however many people are in the stands, like, they wore the Cardinal in white. They deserve some respect, and they deserve a standing ovation from the fans. But it is strange to have that sort of ceremony and then go play some football.
And I think it's, what, 31 seniors and 15 that have been with the program for a few years?
Yes, I believe.
That's a lot
I
of
saw,
seniors.
32 seniors and 16 are from have been with Wisconsin their entire career.
Yeah. Gosh, so you're thinking about the first year of Paul Christ going back then? Because this is the third year of Fickell.
Yeah, last season of Christ with the / Jim Leonard.
Yeah, assuming you weren't even redshirted.
No, seriously.
Right. What a tumultuous career. But they stuck through it, which I give them credit for.
Yeah, credit to those guys, too. Because like you said, in this day and age of other options, other places you can go, I know that not everyone has the same options as other folks. But you always have that option of, like, if you're just not happy anymore, like, this is a grind.
Yeah.
Even for punters.
Even for punters.
But what these guys put their bodies through out there, this is not one of those sports that you can show up for and kind of go through the motions on and feel okay about. You're laying it on the line every day. So credit to those guys for sticking with this program and seeing what they could do this year.
And I'll tell you what, for those 15 of the 31, is that how many?
16.
16 of the 31. It means more. Like, whether you're from Wisconsin or not, like, when you're a high schooler, you're a boy. And, like, by the time you run out, you're a man. So, like, you go through that process with one team. I get it. You can jump and you can make more money. And I don't know what I would have done if I was playing college football now. But basically, to have the start and end here, it's just going to matter more. I think their hearts can be fluttering a little bit more. And I'm just excited. It just brings me back. I'm excited for these guys.
Now, one more home game at Camp Randall for all 31, 32 of those men. Excited to see it go down tonight against number 21, Illinois. Looking for a reliable roofing and home restoration company in Wisconsin? Badgerland Exteriors is here to help. Residential and commercial roofing, siding, and solar. Badgerland Exteriors has you covered. Visit BadgerlandExteriors.com to get started today on your next project. Our promise to you, as Jesse Nelson always says, we make our game picks in segment two, and then we defend our take. Wisconsin, number 21, Illinois. Brett Bielema is back in his old home. Excited to make our picks. Those are coming up next. Don't go anywhere. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.
The countdown to kickoff continues next. You're listening to ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
Sometimes you gotta stay in. Welcome to my house. Baby, take control now. We can't even slow down. We don't have to go around. Welcome to my house. Play that music too loud. Show me what you do now. We don't have to go around. Welcome to my house.
Countdown to kickoff rolls on here on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light. Riley Yauch, Adam Mertz, former Badgers punter Brad Nortman here live on Regent Street. Have you been waiting to buy your next home? Stop. Now is the time to get housed. For over 30 years, Bruno Realty has been providing excellent real estate and property management services in the Madison area. Contact their team at BrunerRealtyInc.com to get started today. That's BrunerRealtyInc.com. And speaking of getting housed, the Badgers' last game in their house tonight, Camp Randall Stadium against number 21, Illinois. And as we promise every week, we make our game picks in segment number two. Let's get to those right now. Hey, no worries. I should have told you in the break, Owen, that we hadn't opened this segment. Brad, let's start with you.
An exciting opening by
everyone. Yes, it's exactly. A great opening.
Because last week you gave us a hard time for not.
I know. And now look, I slide into the hosting chair and immediately I forget my producer brethren and hang them out
quite
to dry.
I
apologize, Owen. That is on me. Brad.
This is just part of the inside game of media of just keeping our audience around a little bit longer as tease our picks. But speaking of our picks, I have the Illinois Fighting Illini 24, Wisconsin Badgers 13. That's an 11-point loss for Wisconsin. I don't see them getting blown out. I've seen enough from this young core at Wisconsin that they're going to keep it close. I don't have a whole lot of optimism for this offense. If you look at Illinois, Luke Altmyer, good quarterback. He's been around for a long time. He had the opportunity to leave, actually, for more money, and Coach Bielema convinced him to stay back and finish out his career at Illinois. So something to be said about that. Their offense is balanced. It's good. Their defense, unfortunately, is good at stopping the run, not so good at stopping the pass. So that's kind of the opposite of what you could take advantage of for the University of Wisconsin. So Atuka out, Carter Smith still cutting his teeth. I view this offense, O-line still struggling. I view this offense as being slow and sluggish again. I think that 13, part of that comes from a takeaway on defense where they get good field position. But I don't expect a lot out of this offense. And when it comes to this defense, I think they're going to be stout. I think Illinois is going to have to earn every point and every possession, but at some point they have more talent, they're better coached, they have more to play for, honestly. They're not going to make it to the playoff, but they have more to play for, they are ranked, and Coach Bielema, this is personal for him, as always. So, and he wants to make a statement. So I think they're going to win. I don't expect a blowout. I expect it to be respectful, at least for a little bit. Illinois will pull away, but I do not see Wisconsin getting a win tonight.
Yeah, and I'm in that camp as well. I've got Illinois 20-10, and I sit there each week and I think about, okay, where are the points going to come from for the Badgers? And even getting myself to 10 points, it's not an easy task. yeah. Just, I mean, it's the reality of things.
Yes.
I mean, you look at you can look at the stats and their rankings in the 130s in terms of national numbers on offense. You can look at the eye test of just not being able to string together drives consistently enough and make enough plays, or having a young quarterback who shows some things that I'm actually pretty excited about, but commits a couple of costly turnovers last week. They're just not there yet. So I'm with you in terms of the defense. What's interesting to me is that seeing Brett come back this time, you think back to the hype around when he came back in here in 2022 and his first time back, and you're kind of psyched up about getting a shot at him, and the way that things fell apart that day. That's what sticks in my head most about this game is, wow, that game shook Badger Football Foundation to its core. Made us question everything that we'd seen for decades and the path forward, and brought us to today. And so it would be amazing if somehow this team can pull one out and you know, another improbable upset Washington style and get one today. It would be magical for the team. It would be obviously sensational for Coach Fickell. I think that the chances of that, if I had to put like a percentage on it, 10%.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that region. That's where I'm at.
All right. Two losses predicted by Brad and Adam. Before I give out my pick, let's head back to the Everlight Solar Studios. Owen Dimple, who do you got today and why between the Badgers and number 21, Illinois?
I think this is a really interesting game. You have Wisconsin on their senior day. A lot of family and friends in the crowd. I think it's going to be a little bit bigger crowd than what we've seen before because of that. Illinois is a ranked team, but I think Wisconsin will find themselves in a tough, nasty, disciplined football game in the fourth quarter, but come up just short. 2017, Illinois.
Devastating news, Owen. But unfortunately, I was of the same mind that it was going to be a bigger crowd today. Looking at the crowds on Regent Street and here at our tailgate, I'm much less convinced that the crowd is going to be bigger than it was against Washington. But we can hope. My pick, I'm always the optimist on this panel.
You sure are, Riley.
And Brad, you're a fellow man of God. Are you familiar with the verse Hebrews 11:1?
Remind me.
Faith is the realization of what is hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
Beautiful verse.
I think, yes, I agree. And I think most of this season, that's what I've been operating on. Just blind faith
the entire season.
And I said I wouldn't pick the Badgers again until I saw something from them that gave me confidence. And against Washington and in the first half of Indiana, I saw something that gave me enough confidence that gives me the opinion that I think they can beat Illinois today. I was researching this. Last week, I couldn't find any stats that gave me any confidence that Wisconsin could upset Indiana. This week, I did. Drew Altmyer, the quarterback for Illinois, he has thrown an interception in each of his last four games. I think that is how the Badgers get the job done today. I have them winning 21-17. Two of those touchdowns are because of the defense. The Badgers forced two turnovers, set their offense up with easy, short fields like they did against Washington, and Carter Smith and company is able to put together one drive longer than 50 yards. Just one,
The
defense is stingy as always. Hold Illinois to 17 points. The Badgers with the upset. 21-17.
Riley, if I may, to come back with another verse from Scripture. I thought this was you all year. Blessed are you have seen and you believe, but blessed are those who have not seen and believe. I thought you were going to be in the not seen and believe all year. But hey, I appreciate somebody's got to be the optimist of the panel, and I appreciate the fact that it's you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I was hoping you'd get a kick out of that.
I love that.
Bringing Scripture into it tonight. And I feel like that's what we've had to deal with most of this season, is just operating on blind faith. But quickly here, pivoting.
I mean, we might as well all have verses.
Exactly. Oh, you got it. Bust one out.
Let's say that Jesus was a Badger fan. My verse for tonight would be Jesus wept.
Oh, wow. That's a good one.
Powerful one.
There you go.
Powerful.
Wow. You're getting a Bible lesson today here on ESPN Wisconsin.
I think the only way Wisconsin wins today, if the Holy Spirit moves, baby,
that's
the only way that I see it happening.
Preach, Brad Nortman, preach. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day. brewed by Coors Light. Now, taking a look at Illinois, this was something that piqued my interest during Luke Fickell's press conference on Monday. Someone asked a question about Illinois' lack of consistency, so to speak. They've blown out most of the teams they beat. They're 7-3 on the year. But they've gotten blown out by the teams they lost to. Crushed by Washington, smoked by Ohio State, and just embarrassed by Indiana. Fickell actually looked at that and praised them for their consistency, that they haven't changed their approach. They don't get too high, they don't get too low. Bielema's he's done a great job of keeping them level.
Yep.
What do you guys make of that just dichotomy between their wins and losses?
Yeah, you know, it is interesting. I take it as Coach Bielema is always about, it's not about them, it's about us. So we're gonna game plan for them, but we're going to do what we want to do. So in the times they've got blown out, I believe two things have become true. One, the other team has more talent, and they got out-coached, to be quite honest. And that's saying something for Coach Bielema, because I think he's really well-coached. Yep. Aaron Henry, former teammate of mine, defensive coordinator. Yeah. I think he's really – I love A-Hen. Great guy. but I think that they have a really good coaching staff. But we live in this this Big Ten where there's some elite teams, right? I mean, Washington at the time, that's probably the most black eye of a loss they've had. Mm-hmm. But Indiana – was it Oregon or Ohio State that they lost to?
Ohio State.
Yep. I mean, those are just quality opponents that they are outmatched. So I think that it's easy, the positive of it's about us, we're going to do what we're going to do, we're not going to change for anyone, and we're going to impose our will, that works when you can do that. But sometimes that game plan and the talent just gets outmatched. So, I think that it's interesting to see how the Wisconsin – I also think it's it's something about culture when you stay with that common thread. It's interesting how Wisconsin seems to get up for the big games but fall short for the games where they play beneath them. But maybe Wisconsin is among the teams beneath, so who knows. But knowing Bielema, it is a staunch belief that we got this, we're going to do what we're going to do, and then we're going to get the victory because of that. That doesn't always work out in the way, because sometimes it just – you just get outmatched.
Yeah, and, I was thinking back to the game against Indiana, and I remember making predictions on this show, and I think I picked Illinois.
I think almost all of us picked Illinois.
Because no one was buying Indiana in year two, like, hey, that was a great run, but can they replicate it coming back? And that was a huge eye-opener, I think, both ways. Illinois, I know that people had wondered aloud whether they had what it takes. They were a top 10 preseason, were they not?
Yeah.
And they're like, that seems like it's more based on what they did last year as well. But what strikes me about what they've done, and I give – this is a credit to Brett Bielema, is that when he was here, like, he always beat the teams he was supposed to.
Yeah.
He always beat the teams he was supposed to. Indiana – you look at the schedule and be like, okay, Indiana, Purdue, Northwestern, most of the time.
Yeah.
But
auto wins, generally speaking.
Like, no question, Minnesota. Like, every year you knew it was going to happen. So I really do think it's just purely a talent issue on the Illinois side of things. That they don't have the explosiveness. Maybe they're just not as well-rounded as they were last year. Luke Altmaier, I think, is a really good quarterback. He's not someone who's like an absolute game-changer for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I give him credit. I mean, you look at the stats. Think about this, too. Illinois, if Brett wins tonight, guess where he is on the all-time wins list for coaches at Illinois?
Top five?
I mean, definitely top 10 if you're giving us the stat, I would guess.
Yeah, number 3.
Wow.
Dang. Number 3. He's 30. He's got 35 wins there.
That is crazy.
That's tied for number 4 of all time. So, like,
wow.
What he's been able to do in building that consistency, that's not easy. So give him full credit for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when the DNA of that program wasn't necessarily physicality or consistency.
Nothing.
It was always being a bottom feeder, and maybe you'd have a blip year when you have a dude.
Yep.
But generally speaking, to get talent and to get guys to play hard, it's not like it's just a given like it always was all those years at Wisconsin.
Yeah. I mean, they had those couple of years with Juice Williams, right, where they had solid squads.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Aurelius Ben.
Yeah.
He was a teammate in Jacksonville. Good dude, too.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah.
But that's going back to, like, they're having a dude, not necessarily the culture that they have built and that Brett Bielema has clearly built for the Fighting Illini. We also have some breaking news out of the Wisconsin Badgers camp. Our injury report is brought to you by Orthopedic and Spine Centers of Wisconsin. Their Saturday Sports Injury Clinic has you covered. Skip the emergency room circus and get expert care from the pros who actually know sports injuries. Walk in any Saturday from 9 to 11:30 a.m. at their location off the Beltline and get back in the game. Gentlemen, breaking news. Gideon Atuka is officially ruled out for the game tonight. Your immediate reaction to that news?
Not surprising. Yeah. But I am just so pleased that he was feeling as good as he was getting back on the team plane last week. Because you watched that thing and how it happened. And he was so defenseless when he got plugged because he had been stood up that first time. And you saw him take one right on the chin. You're like, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen to that guy? So I'm just happy that he's in a good condition. I always wonder, too, on a situation like that, Brad, like how much of it is mental as much as physical when you're carted off on a stretcher and taken to a hospital and just sort of making sure that you're still there entirely.
Yeah, I mean, it probably makes sense for him to shut it down completely just to be safe. And no need to push it in a year that it's not worth pushing it in. And I know, like, when the replay happens, we see it all in slow motion, right? Yeah. But when he goes hit, all in real time, where it's like bang, 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 it's scary stuff, man. You forget that it's like a car accident out there. Yeah. So, like you said, so thankful that he's okay. His playing career seems to be completely open. It just makes the task even harder because he was probably the lone bright spot. Carter Smith, yes, too, but he seemed like a very reliable runner of the football. And without him, it's just hopefully a next man up mentality can occur.
And the thing that was, he was so effective for them because of what they can't do offensively. Mm-hmm. He was the sledgehammer who could come in. You're not getting big enough holes. Great. I'll make one for myself.
Yeah.
His durability up to that point was just remarkable, too. It seemed like nothing fazed him at all. So just really impressed with what he did. I'm really curious to see how many snaps they give to Jackson Aker in the backfield tonight.
Yeah, because a senior, right?
Senior kid from Verona. Yeah. He's shown that he knows how to run the football.
Yeah.
Before, I mean, it's going to be like a, you know, not even to this level, but it'll be a Matt Bernstein.
Yeah.
You know, pulling him out against
Penn
State.
That's a great name.
You know, think a little bit about that kind of offensive philosophy to try to get some action, because I'm just not seeing it right now with Darian Dupree in terms of what this offensive line can give him.
Yeah.
And he's still coming back. Like, he was supposed to be on the pitch count last week and got overused a little bit. So they're going to have to be really intelligent tonight about how they fill that gap.
Yeah, Jackson Aker listed as a fullback officially. Darian Dupree, your starter. Grover Bortolotti is
Grover.
Your second string.
I like
senior,
that name.
I don't know where exactly. I'll have to check during the break. He is a Wisconsinite.
He's Whitefish Bay, correct?
Oh, really?
Yes, isn't I believe you're right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we may see some number 43 action today. Grover
senior
Bortolotti.
Night.
What a great running back
senior
number.
Night. A potential fun story there. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light. Canopy Wealth Management carries a long-standing tradition of working in the best interest of their clients every day. The team at Canopy emphasizes building local relationships and believes that values matter and strengthen their communities. At Canopy, care, competence, and clarity isn't just a tagline, it's a promise. Go to canopy-wealth.com to get started today. Hope always springs eternal before kickoff as the Badgers anticipate taking on number 21, Illinois. But not a great season for the Badgers, not a great week for Luke Fickell. Some lost recruits making headlines this week. We'll address that next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.
The countdown to kickoff continues next. You're listening to ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
Badgers as they battle Brett Bielema, number 21, Illinois, tonight at Camp Randall Stadium with Celebrations Entertainment. Jeffrey from Celebrations Entertainment actually stopped by during the break. Planet Events has never been easier. They have complete event services for weddings, corporate events, nonprofit events, outdoor movies, casino nights, and much more fun. Visit CelebrationsEntertainment.com to get started today. Celebrations Entertainment, fun, memorable events. Teased it at the end of the last segment. It's been a rough week for Wisconsin in the recruiting department. Three-star offensive lineman Ben Novak flipped to Indiana, and he made some controversial comments, some things that stirred the pot here in Madison, saying, "I just can't," in reference to Wisconsin's losses or wins over Miami of Ohio and Middle Tennessee State. The quote, to be fair, was taken a little bit out of context. He also was talking about going too far away from home. He's from Virginia. But I feel like that's just a microcosm of where we're at, is there's no offensive lineman left in the class of 2026 for Wisconsin now. Like, that can't happen if you're Wisconsin.
I'm just wondering what they're saying behind closed doors now, because you look at this recruiting class, and it depends what you look. I've seen 14 total recruit commits. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how many you're going to get last minute here. And I've seen them in, like, the 60s. I saw them, like, 65, 67, 67, 67.
Hey.
And they just must be directing all their focus to the transfer portal, which maybe if you've got 1 year to figure this out, maybe that is your approach that you think is going to work. But I don't love how that sets up for the future. So it's concerning. It's just another domino where you're looking and saying, where is Wisconsin football winning? Are you winning in NIL? Are you winning on the field? Are you winning in recruiting? It's hard to find a win.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that people have been pointing to that Luke Fickell has brought, is an elevated recruiting profile and be able to get some bigger names in. And it's not surprising. I mean, you can only sell it for so long when you're seeing the product on the field and kind of deterioration in terms of the culture around the program, too. It's just not easy. You can sell that. You can come here and get time right away and be part of this young nucleus. And I think there is some allure to that, but it obviously wasn't enough for these guys. I know that the reading that I've done out of this is just how much they were counting on Novak as kind of a little bit of a leader of this whole class as well. He was someone who'd been committed for a long time and just had some charisma about him. So that's a tough one. They do have, I believe it's, 5-5 offensive linemen from the previous two classes. Mm. So it's not like the numbers themselves are going to kill you out of that, but for Wisconsin to not have any offensive line commits 2 weeks before the deadline is bad optics, and they're going to have to do something about it.
Yeah, disappointing to say the least. But you know what's not disappointing? Our special guest coming up next. Save money and save the planet. Ditch the energy bill and make the switch over to Everlight Solar, your local solar energy company based in Madison. Visit EverlightSolar.com to learn more and make the switch today. Everlight Solar, a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Evan Cohen and Michelle Smallman of ESPN Radio's Unsportsmanlike coming up next. You won't want to miss it. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.
The countdown to kickoff continues next. You're listening to ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light. For more than 65 years, Gordon Flesh Company has been providing cutting-edge technology for companies of all sizes at the nation's largest Canon and Lexmark dealer. That's business technology managed. Visit gflesh.com to learn more. We are absolutely thrilled to be joined by two of the hosts of Unsportsmanlike, which you can hear on ESPN Madison every weekday morning, 5 to 9 a.m. across 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Evan Cohen and Michelle Smallman, thanks for being here. How'd your tour go today?
It's been amazing the last couple of days, Riley. We, what day is it?
Saturday. We've been here a while.
So, which tour? Because we've had so many tours. Today, I took Smalls on a tour of State Street and everything around State Street.
Okay. Yeah.
Nice.
Which I realized we actually said we were going to do something that we didn't do.
What?
I literally just remembered this in this moment right now. You said you wanted to go see the sorority house, which we never did.
Oh, yeah. What's I wanted to pop by my sorority house here to take a picture and send to my girlfriends from Illinois.
We forgot to do that.
It's so, okay. But shout out to the Thetas regardless.
Up and down State Street today. She had brats. We're not going to give out free pub to anybody that's not working with the show.
Yep.
But she had a brat.
And cheese curds.
Cheese curds and
a spotted cow, naturally.
Let's go.
Naturally.
Excellent.
They call it the tourist special. I didn't know that. A brat, cheese
yes.
curds, and a spotted cow.
Which she gave out free promotion to a company that
sorry.
Doesn't work with us. As we are a Coors Light here. So wake
my
up when I lead you into that. Okay.
My bad.
And then yesterday.
She's had a great time.
Yesterday, we did our show from ESPN Madison. Then we went on Wilde and Tausch. Then what did we do after that?
Camp Randall?
Student radio. We spoke at the student radio station
awesome.
Yesterday. Then we went to Camp Randall, got a whole tour of that. And then we went and we were at Buck and Honey's for the big Q&A. Mertzi was there last night. And it was Tausch, LePay, my professor, Professor Hoyt, who I had in school. And during the day, during our show, Smalls is head coach. Both of your head coaches,
yeah.
Brad's head coach and Smalls' head coach, Brett Bielema, joined us.
That's right.
Did I leave anything out?
I don't think so, but we've had an action-packed 2.5 days here in Madison. It's been unbelievable. Obviously, I went to the University of Illinois, and I am Illini forever and always, an Illinois girl at heart, but I have kind of adopted the state of Wisconsin, and they've been so welcoming to me. When I chose the Packers as my NFL team,
safe.
We've been spending a lot of time in Wisconsin over the past couple years. We've been to Milwaukee. We've been to Green Bay. Both those cities have been wonderful to me. I am not surprised at all that Madison was the next one on the list. Everyone here could not have been more kind or welcoming to me, even though I'm technically an enemy.
Yeah, Smalls, I'm wondering, your experience in Madison. Evan, I'm curious, usually, historically speaking, usually a very good football team on the field, and that makes the party scene that much better.
Yeah.
I feel like a little bit like this isn't quite the 10 out of 10 Madison that we're able to show Smalls, but still a great opportunity to be here, and you're enjoying yourself so far?
Absolutely. So I've been here one other time. I haven't been to a game at Camp Randall, so I'm really excited to go there tonight to see the teams in action and obviously see Jump Around in action and the vibes. But I was here back in 2015, maybe when I was producing for Rosillo and Canal. We went on a college football tour. We came here. I believe it was Wisconsin, Ohio State. My co-producer, Steve Cerruti, who still works with Ryan, loved Madison so much. We had such a good time. This is no joke. He was looking for jobs in Madison on the flight on the way home. He loved Wisconsin so much. So I always knew Madison was a great college town, a great place to be, a great place to live. But I feel like I haven't really experienced the football side of it. So it's nice to come back here a second time and really put the cherry on top of the game.
Wait a second. Were you here for the which game? The Ohio State game?
I think so.
When Ohio State was number one?
I can't remember. It was 2015, so whatever. I can go back and look at the – here, I'll tell you right now. I'll go to my phone.
The only reason I ask you is because I was here – the weekend that Wisconsin upset Ohio State when they were number one. What year was that, Mercy?
It was 2010.
Oh, 2010. Yeah. All right, so that wouldn't have been that.
I was a junior.
You were on that team.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people credit you for the win.
I mean, of course they should, as they should.
What was it, Schabert?
It was 2016. Excuse me.
Well, what was that long pass early in that game? Who was your quarterback?
Tolzien.
Oh, I was at that game.
Scott Tolzien.
Were you?
Yeah. Was it too? Well, I know that David Gilreath took the opening kickoff. That was set the tone.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm thinking.
And it seems like James White and Monte Ball, John Clay had a field day that day. Mm-hmm. But the next week, and I want you guys to bring this up to Coach Bielema when you see him on the sidelines. Next week, we played at Iowa. They took about 20 head coaches, the Athletic did, and they wrote an article on what was their favorite play of their entire coaching career. Ask Coach Bielema what his favorite play was of his entire football career.
Okay.
Well, obviously, was it your fake punt?
It was my fake punt.
I knew it!
Bielema's been a part of some amazing teams. And I saw this. It was earlier in the year, and a bunch of people sent me the article, and he's talking about it. And obviously, he went to Iowa, so there's a lot of, personal feelings there.
Yeah.
And it was such a gutsy
he's
call.
He's a huge special teams guy, right?
A huge special teams guy, yeah. And when he saw that, I texted him. I said, we are forever linked to
you. I love that.
Because I still get remembered for that,
Brad.
Primarily, not even punting.
Brad, question on this. Is that something you like or don't like as a punter, the fake punts?
I like it. It's seared in people's memory. I mean, between
it's literally you doing not your job.
Yeah. Well, so it's interesting. So I had 199 punts in my 4-year career at Wisconsin. So that I'm remembered for, and then my senior year playing Michigan State, first Big Ten championship game. At the final punt of the game, I got run into. 4th and 4, became a first down, and obviously we just kneel it out and go to the Rose Bowl. So for those two plays, I've made a career on punting, and two plays I'm known for have nothing to do with punting.
That's amazing.
So,
and how many years in the NFL?
Six.
So, and your most memorable NFL, were they non-punts as a punter also? Some of Mertz's best articles were the ones he didn't write.
Exactly. it's too funny. So, yeah, so it's Coach
Bielema. Why are they talking off the air?
What's happening
here?
I know.
Riley, do your job. You got to reset it and do something here.
We're thrilled to be joined by Evan Cohen and Michelle Smallman of Unsportsmanlike. Unfortunately, we don't have a fifth headset. Otherwise, Mertzy could have just joined in on the conversation. But he requested that I ask you about Kirk Herbstreit.
Me about?
Oh, about me? Okay. Another good point here. If we're going to bring up my third most memorable play, then that will be this. So that same year, junior year, we beat number one Ohio State. It was a top 15 matchup, Wisconsin versus Iowa. Called the fake punt, we beat Iowa. And that's obviously the most memorable fake punt. You fast forward to the Rose Bowl, and the very first punt of the Rose Bowl against TCU, Brett Bielema calls another fake punt. I mean, he's getting greedy at this point, right? It's fourth and four. I'll try to tell the story very quickly. It's fourth and four. It's more of a sweep as opposed to a straight ahead run. We have a false start. So I'm thinking, we're not going to do it on fourth and nine. Look over to the sideline. Bielema gives me one of these. I'm like, they know we're going to run the fake. We still run the fake. Fourth and nine. I get 11. I get a grass stain on my Rose Bowl jersey.
Oh, my God.
I'm all juiced up. And Kirk Herbstreit on the TV broadcast says Brad Norman ran a fake earlier in the season. He's become something of an offensive weapon for this team.
Oh, my God.
Offensive weapon.
Our producer on KBN, Alex Strofe, in his phone, I'm not Brad Norman. I'm offensive weapon.
That's amazing. That
Iconic.
Is amazing.
Yes.
Now, wait. Can I just – this is interesting because Brad played for Bielema. Smalls is in heaven right now with the Bielema-Illinois pairing and partnership. Let's go back to when you played. What was your perception of Illinois football versus what it is now?
Well, so in 2007, they had Ron Zook, and they actually went to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
So that was my senior year of high school. So coming into my time at Wisconsin, you felt like they had some juice, some momentum, but that fizzled out very quickly.
Well, also, we got killed in that Rose Bowl by USC.
You guys didn't get killed.
We made it, but there was a big disparity between the programs.
It didn't feel like they were quote-unquote back. It felt like a one-year blip. And when I was a part of what we built at Wisconsin, it never felt like the Illinois game was a game that was ever in jeopardy. I'll be honest. It didn't feel like they had the DNA that they do now, where it's tough, discipline, not an easy out. It always felt like, okay, Illinois is in the you know, Minnesotas and the Indianas of the world, where it's like you just, you know, we know we're better. We know we're better coach, and we know we're just going to roll. That's just not this team anymore. And I'm not surprised Coach Bielema has done what he did, because you guys have met him. You guys have talked to him. You know him. He just emits a certain bravado, a certain confidence, a certain connectivity with people that, you know, he imprints his DNA. And he casts a vision, and you believe in that vision.
Do you guys think that's more important now? Like, the bravado? And he can coach, but, like, do you think this – like, are we in the spot we're in because we don't have the bravado at Wisconsin right now?
I wouldn't say it's just because we don't have the bravado, but as a coach and a leader of a Division I, especially a Big Ten football program, you have to be a salesman for your program. And right now – we've been talking about this. We talked about it during the break, that Fickell has really struggled with being a good salesman for the Wisconsin Badgers. You had Ben Novak, a three-star offensive lineman. He flipped from Indiana last week, or to Indiana from Wisconsin last week. And Fickell, like, he just hasn't sold a vision of the program as it stands right now that a lot of people are buying into.
Well, there's a lot of terms for that, right? It factor, culture, leader. Like, there, I mean, it's packaged in a lot of different ways, but the short answer is, do you want to play for this man? Like, does he inspire you to play, to be at your best, not only on the field, but on Wednesday morning in January when you have to do stations and you're getting your butt kicked? Like, there is something about top-down culture being built, and when Coach Bielema's in a room, you just want to follow that man. And what we have right now in Wisconsin, I don't know Coach Fickell. I've never personally met him, but it just doesn't seem like that element. I've never met him
before. That's the issue right there. Like, why has Brad Norman not met Coach Luke Fickell?
Yeah, and ironically, so the former player outreach has been fairly minimal. Like, Coach Chris was really good at it.
But I don't think you should have met him as a former player. Not that that's irrelevant. I think it's more relevant right now that you have a platform for 3 hours every afternoon in Milwaukee and Madison on KBN, speaking to a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you and Ben as two former players, sure, Ben basketball, but, like, I almost don't know that the former player part matters as much as, like, where's my soft landing spots? Where can I go when I have a message? Because the reality is, you're going to do your job, but you're also going to give him the opportunity to do his.
Yeah.
And that's why, by the way, Illinois does an unbelievable job with Michelle because they'll reach out to her constantly and we'll ask the questions that have to be asked, but there are no questions that have to be asked right now because it's just like, you're fun, you're good, you're bad. Like, I don't know. I just I would look voluntarily look for the, I don't know if soft landing spots, but the best PR I can get.
But like as you said, that might not always be the case, right? If Coach Bielema in Illinois has a down year next year, you're going to be more in their corner because you feel the connectivity. There's more belief in the program, and honestly, too, there's just a lens inside to what they're doing. So you feel like if you throw your support behind them, you're standing on some firm ground.
Absolutely. But I'll tell you this: when I was hosting the morning show in St. Louis, and Coach Bielema first came to Illinois. And they were building what we have now, and things weren't as good as they were now. He still was reaching out to us to make sure that he was coming on because he knows what the talent is like in Southern Illinois and in Missouri, and he wants to make sure that he has a presence not only in Chicago, not only nationally, but all over the state of Illinois, which includes Southern Illinois into Missouri. Yeah. So he really understood from the beginning, even when this isn't great and we're not ranked, I need to make sure that I'm making myself available to talk about the University of Illinois, the brand of Illinois, and what we're going to become.
Well, why do we have somebody over there with an Illinois jersey? Why did we let them into Wisconsin College game?
Why not?
Yeah. Do we have a shot tonight?
I don't think so. I mean,
oh, good.
define a shot. I mean,
enjoy the game.
5% chance? I guess anything
can
happen.
I would disagree. Mertzi set a 10% chance for Wisconsin to win today. I think Drew Altmyer, he's thrown a pick in his last four games. I think if the Badgers' defense is forced turnovers today, that they have a shot at winning. I think Wisconsin can muster maybe one offensive drive longer than 50 yards.
Oh, my
outside
God.
Of that, outside of that, they're going to need a little help from the defense. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light, joined by Michelle Smallman and Evan Cohen.
You hear that, brewed by Coors Light. You don't use the other beer name.
Yeah. My bad.
Of Unsportsmanlike weekdays 5 to 9 here on ESPN Madison. And I know you guys got to get to the field. Before you guys go.
No big deal.
Evan, okay. First, a question for you. As a fellow WSUM alum.
Right.
Two-prong question for you. One, how special was it to get to talk to the students yesterday? And two, how did you organize it where Amber and Zaslow are broadcasting from the student radio station doing game night from there? How'd you pull that off?
About a year and a half ago or a year ago, was introduced to Kelsey, who runs the student radio station. She's a faculty member, like a paid employee from the university. And the reason I was introduced to her was from my professor, Professor Hoyt, who was my professor my senior year of college. And I knew my whole time in college. And the previous person to have the faculty role at the student radio station was a man by the name of Dave Black. Mm-hmm. He was wonderful. He was amazing. He actually, unfortunately, passed away. And Kelsey took over for him. And I did not know Kelsey. So Professor Hoyt introduced me to Kelsey, and I said, okay, let me connect you with some people, and I'll obviously keep in touch. So when they told us we were coming here for this game this weekend, which was awesome because, listen, we have a neither of us think of ourselves as big. Both of us believe our platform is enormous. And it's really cool that our platform is featuring our two schools, and they're featuring our two schools this week because of us, which is really awesome, right? So when they told us we're coming back here, I immediately reached out to the student radio station to try to get them involved. And one of the executives at ESPN Radio, Mike Urinaga, said, well, why don't we do the Zaslow and Amber Game Night show from there? And they all coordinated it. So it was great. I mean, to have a national show. If you think about this weekend, we had our show on Friday with Joe Thomas and Mark Tauscher coming in person from ESPN Madison. And then the Game Night show from the student radio station here on UW-Madison's campus.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. Are you guys going to make it a home-and-home thing next year if Wisconsin at Illinois?
Is Wisconsin at Illinois next year?
I'll have to check the schedule to confirm. But next time Wisconsin is at Illinois, broadcasting from the Illinois student radio station in Champaign?
That would be a dream. If we could go to St. Louis, if we could go to Champaign, anything having to do with where I'm from, where I'm so proud to be from, it would truly be a dream come true. I love it because we got to come to Wisconsin and see Evan's alma mater, his stomping grounds. We got to do Thursday night football at MetLife, Giants, Packers, and experience that with CeCe. So now it's my turn next. We got to make it happen.
Now, to be fair, without getting too detailed, there was something on the horizon for 2 weeks from now that got altered for us to go to St. Louis. So that is very conscious that it's in people's minds, and there could be some other things that she doesn't even know about that are in the works.
Oh, okay. My gosh.
Good tease. That's a radio professional right there. And before you guys go, we make everyone do this. official prediction and why for Wisconsin taking on number 21 Illinois senior night here at Camp Randall Stadium. We'll let the guests go first. Michelle, who do you got?
I'm going to pick Illinois.
Surprise. The
score or no?
Score, yes.
Wisconsin 60-8.
Let's go.
Wow.
60-8. Okay, well then I'm going to say, I'm going to reverse the Indiana score where they took it to us earlier in the season. I'll say Illinois 63-10.
Wow.
That would not be good.
Bragging rights on the line here. I can feel the
and by the way, the loser has to wear the other school's helmet on our show for an hour at some point.
And oh, wow.
Brutal.
And so Michelle has it through Illinois to get like a professional helmet. I have already arranged it. I have Tausch's used helmet.
Can I just say, I know I'm a soft punter. Wearing a helmet is not particularly comfortable for a full hour.
Brad, you don't think I know? I played the sport.
The Ocho.
Legendary former quarterback Evan Cohen. Michelle, Evan, thank you so much for joining. And Michelle, you say 63-10. I feel like maybe that's on your mind because Indiana beat Illinois.
That's what I said.
Okay, yes.
Way to listen, Riley.
Yeah, clearly. Clearly,
maybe we have to send you back to WSUM.
Yes, not nearly as much of a radio professional as these two. Thank you so much for joining. This was fantastic.
Thank
Evan Cohen,
guys.
Michelle Smallman of Unsportsmanlike. For more than 65 years, Gordon Flesh Company has been providing cutting-edge technology for companies of all sizes as the nation's largest Canon and Lexmark dealer. That's business technology managed. Visit gflesh.com to learn more. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light. Don't go anywhere.
The countdown to kickoff continues next. You're listening to ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.